International Speedway. Joining me right now, this fine gentleman's joined us in the past. He does a great job. His name's David Reagan, number 36, Select Blinds Ford, Rick Ware Racing. I got to make sure I say that correctly. David, how you doing today?
Yeah, you did a good job. We're doing great, man. It's always fun to be in Daytona around Speed Weeks in February. You know, I'm a big race fan myself, so I love all the short track racing at Volusia County, at New Smyrna Beach Speedway, and obviously the trucks and ARCA series, the duels tonight. So plenty of racing, and I'm happy to be driving.
All right, let's go over this for our listeners. So you had a bunch of kids who wanted to get an autograph with you in photo. Or is autograph cool anymore? Does anyone care?
I think a lot of people do selfies, but I'd say the autograph still is king here at NASCAR races.
They were so scared to me. I'm like, come on, you could say hello to him. So
they might have been scared of you. They weren't scared of me.
So then all of a sudden, there was a father and a son right here, and they were looking at you, and I was like, come up, take the photo. No, was he on Skype?
Yeah, I think he was FaceTiming his family, he said, back home in Canada. So, you know, I meet a lot of people from up north. They escape that cold weather, and I meet a lot of Canadians and people from Maine and Connecticut and Wisconsin and all those states. They come down to Daytona to catch some sun and some racing.
I love the idea that they didn't even want a photo with you. They just wanted you to say hello to their family.
That's right. Yeah,
that's what they wanted.
They were here.
Is that one of the weirdest things to happen as a driver?
It gets a lot weirder than that. So, no, you wait till the sun goes down and everybody's been drinking all day. It gets a lot weirder.
I understand. You know, last hour we had Jerry Freeze on, GM with Front Row Motorsports. He told a story about you, that you went cross-country with all of the trucks. What happened?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit of a thrill seeker. I enjoy to do things that are kind of off the grid and maybe a little different. I think life is important to get some experiences under your belt and experience different things, and sometimes we can stay in our little bubble too much. But I have my CDL, which means that's a commercial driver's license, so I can drive one of the 18-wheelers, and I wanted to drive across the country in the truck and trailer that hauls our race car. So I hopped in North Carolina, and we drove all the way out to Sonoma, California. It took, I don't know, like 34 hours or 36 hours. It was a long ride, or two of us, and we would just back and forth, stop for fuel, stop for, food here and there, but we just trucked it right on through.
What did you learn about yourself?
Man, that was a long ride out there, and I was so happy to see a hotel room. You learn that there's some pretty landscape in the Midwest. You know, once you get into parts of Montana, South Dakota, and, the western part of Kansas, you can just roll like 85, 90 miles an hour. There's really no speed limit out there. But, man, it's a long ride out there. And you hear the same songs over and over again on the radio. And, we had a good time. It was a good trip.
So you actually drove it?
Yes, I did. Yeah, about half of it. We kind of would drive 6 or 8 hours. I think the law is you have to drive 8 hours, and then you have to have so many hours off. I don't remember exactly. But,
okay.
So I would drive 6 or 8 hours at the time.
This is the most unique question you'll hear. What is harder, driving one of those things, the big rigs, or driving one of these NASCARs?
Sometimes the big rigs are more difficult because you have traffic. You've got to watch everybody else. You've got all the cars that are driving, weaving in and out of traffic, people looking at their phones, texting and driving. And so, you're hauling a couple of $1 million worth of inventory with cars and engines and truck and trailer. So you've got to pay attention. At least on the racetrack, everybody is focused on driving the car. There's not many distractions. We don't have a CD player inside of our race car. So, the race car is tough, but driving that big rig is tough as well.
Okay, how many years now we've been driving, buddy, professionally?
Yeah, well, since I got my first paycheck racing, I was 18 years old, and I'm 34 now. So, 16, 17 years. And I've been fortunate to drive for some really good teams. I've had a lot of fun, some really good sponsors. I've made a lot of great friends along the way, and I've had a lot of good memories. So I think that I'm very blessed to have been able to race that long, not having any major injuries or ailments that have kept me out of the race car, and it's been a good ride.
Okay, for our listeners just bombing in here, we're here with David Reagan. Which race team are you with now?
Yeah, so I'm driving a Ford Mustang, the number 36, for Rick Ware Racing this weekend, Select Blind Lines.com is on our Ford Mustang. It's a partner that's been with me for a couple of years now. And Rick Steele, the founder of SelectBlinds.com, a company based out of Phoenix, Arizona, he'll be here this weekend. I want to give him a quick shout out. He was doing something really amazing, talking about living outside of your comfort zone. Rick is a marathon runner, and he just did the World Marathon Challenge, where he ran 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 different continents.
Shut up!
Yep, he started in South Africa, went to Antarctica, went over to Australia, to Asia, I think a place in Europe. He did South America yesterday, and then he's doing the marathon in Miami as we speak today.
What?
Yep, 7 in 7 days.
Okay, so you finish the marathon, then you get straight on a plane?
Yep, straight on a plane, head to the next one. You know, you sleep on the plane, you might sleep a few hours wherever you go, and you hop on. So yeah, 7 days, 7 marathons, and 7 different continents.
I thought I was a big shot where I got my equipment from the infield here inside
right over here. But yeah, if you want to go online and check that out, the World Marathon Challenge, he's an incredible guy. There's 35, 40 people who all went together and did this together. Uh-huh. So, you know, they had their own plane going from place to place. And so they've run a lot. But he will be here this Sunday, and I can't wait to see how he's doing and see how many pairs of shoes that he went through.
Have you ran a marathon before?
No. You know, I do enjoy working out. I have a road bike. I do some cycling. I've probably cycled maybe 40 miles, you know, in one given time.
That's good.
Yeah, so that, you know, I haven't done anything too crazy, but I'm not a big runner. I think that's a lot of stress on your knees and your joints, and the farthest I've ever ran is probably 2 or 3 miles.
How do you get into shape then to become a professional driver?
So I do a little strength training and cardio, kind of a mix between the two. A couple of days a week I'll do some strength training, some resistant workout at a local gym in North Carolina, and then a couple of days a week I'll do some type of a cardio workout, whether I go with my wife and you know, we ride our bike, or we do some type of you know, workout that she's doing that's a high heart rate, a high intensity for 30-45 minutes. So I kind of mix it up.
What does Daytona mean to you, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, Daytona is the foundation of our sport. It's where the guys were racing on the beach here in the 1940s. NASCAR was founded here at the Streamline Hotel in Daytona Beach. Bill France and his family, they lived here in the 1940s and 50s as NASCAR was getting up to speed. And, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar business today. The President of the United States is going to be here this weekend to watch the race. And so, yeah, I think Daytona is the foundation of motorsports. It's where it all started.
As a guy that loves the sport, you do it professionally, how important is it to have the popularity of the sport going in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's encouraging. As any sporting event or activity, you have to evolve with the world around you, and the world has been changing over the last 10 or 15 years at a faster rate because of the technology that we have at our fingertips and through our phone and the internet. And so, you know, our sport, you know, declined for, you know, 5 to 7 years. It was 6. I think I saw something 32 million, 31 million people watched the 2006 Daytona 500. It was on NBC, and it was unbelievable how many people, but still 10 or 12 million people are going to watch this race on Sunday. And so yeah, I'm happy to see that they've made some real aggressive changes, and it's going to be a sellout, 100,000 people to watch a stock car race. So it's still a very, very big deal. NASCAR has made a lot of good decisions in the past few years, and it's been fun to watch.
What are your thoughts then on social media and the way it's grown sports? Positive, negative? What is your take?
You know, I think, you know, on one end, it's given people that are rude, that are ignorant, and maybe ill-informed, it's given them a voice, and it's muddied the water up sometimes. I mean, I look at journalists having you know, a tough job today because anybody can create a profile and put out a news article and consider themselves a journalist, but they're really not. Uh-huh. And so the water's very muddy on social media. I would be fine if it was never invented, and that would probably, I think, make a lot of lives a lot simpler simpler and easier, but it's here, and it's just it's a world we live in. So I'm not a huge fan of it. I think it's a great tool that you can interact with people, and a lot of people use it right, but there's some scumbags out there that don't use it right, and that's unfortunate.
I think what's positive about it is we could see the clip. Like, if you win some race or you did something cool during the week, we can give it to the fans.
Immediately.
That's
right.
What I think is cool about it.
That's right.
But I understand the haters are out there. They really are.
And it gives them a voice. And before, you just didn't pay attention to haters, but it's hard to tell who's who, you know, when you're hiding behind your profile.
I like we got the term scumbag here on the air. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you like to accomplish here in 2020 as a driver?
Man, I want to win the Daytona 500. That's a good start. I think that the Daytona 500 is an important race, and that's what I'm focused on today. I mean, you know, I want to be a good father, a good husband. I want to do all those things for my family. But as a driver, it all starts at Daytona, and you want to leave Daytona knowing that you did a good job. Sometimes you can't control the B factors. There's going to be accidents. There's going to be part failures. But if I do my job and some of the B factors work in our favor, we can have a shot to win the race.
Okay, bonus before I let you go, man, and good luck on the new season. I personally drive a Ford Mustang.
All right.
But what makes your Ford Mustang better than mine?
About 700 more horsepower. It is a little different, but this is still a stock car, so it probably resembles and it has some of the same features. But with the next generation car that NASCAR is going to roll out in 2021, there will be more similarities between the two. So it's a souped-up Mustang.
I got to see it. What garage are you
right
in?
Right here, yeah, like garage 31 or 29 or something.
Okay, we're going over there. Yeah, during the break, I got to see
this.
Come
over and check it. And you can watch it live on the racetrack in about 2 hours.
I like it, man. Yeah. Well, hey, I appreciate stopping by, David, and good luck with everything here.
You guys have fun today. Thanks for having me on.